we are going to discuss tonight a couple very practical situations of Hilchos Ribbis. There are a lot of issues when it comes to the laws of interest, which we are not going to go into now. There are plenty of books that are written just on this topic. In the business world, there's obviously a tremendous amount of implications for this, but we're just going to deal with like two or three cases in the house, things that you don't necessarily think of that might be questions about Ribbis, and cases that might be okay, cases that might not be okay. First, thanks again to Kevin for having us here, and thanks to Kevin for having us here, even if there wouldn't have been any light, even if the blackout still would have been going, so we said at least we would try. I don't think I could have done that in my house. Anyway, so shakrach to you. Okay, so the basic idea of Ribbis, I think we're all familiar with. It's based on the Torah. The Torah says, I'll take half me to neshach v'tarbit, basically talking about a case where you lend money. In the Torah's case, it's specifically to somebody who's poor, who's destitute, which is a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah to lend money to people that are in need. And the Torah says that you're not allowed to take neshach v'tarbit, which the Gemara says both refer to interest, to ribbis. The reason why there's two terms is only just to make it two multiple different prohibitions, but basically it's the same idea. And again, that the idea seems to be, in terms of the logic behind it, it's not clear exactly. And the truth is, halachically, there is no logic. But the concept seems to be that if you give a loan, you're giving a loan as a chesed. You're not giving a loan because you want to get something in return. So the minute that you lend money and then expect, well, I'm going to get extra in return, then you've lost the element of gemilas chasadim and the meidar l'chaveiro component that the Torah wants to provide us with, and really to inculcate us to develop in the Torah in a Jewish society. The idea is supposed to be that we do things to other Jews to help them out. We don't do things because we want to make money off of them. That, again, that seems to be the idea. However, in terms of the halacha is pretty clear. If you look through the Gemara and the other makos, the halacha is pretty clear that there is no reason for ribbis. We don't know the reason, and even if the reasons don't apply, meaning let's say that everybody agrees and everybody wants it, meaning the lender wants and the borrower wants, and they all want to go through with interest, and even the borrower, not that he doesn't care, he wants to do it that way because it's more official. Whatever the case is, the halacha is that from either side, it's awesome. You're not allowed to do it, period. So even if you say yes, there might be a nice logic behind it, but the bottom line is that halacha is that there is no logic. And that, by the way, is part of the reason why some suggest that if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, there's four sections of the Shulchan Aruch, which I guess we probably know this. The one is Orach Chaim, that's daily life, and shops and holidays and daily tefillah and stuff like that. Yoredeya is all the miscellaneous things, which include kashrus and avivos and all sorts of other stuff. Ebenezer, which is family, marriage, stuff like that. And Choshen Nishpat is civil law, mostly being done with chaveiro. But of course, you would think, if I asked you, you would guess, if you guess which one of those four sections of the Shulchan Aruch is Hilchos Ribbis in, the first guess, at least in my mind, would have been Choshen Nishpat. Yeah, Choshen Nishpat is all about toim v'nitzan, claims and counterclaims, and laws of neighbors, and this and that, and all sorts of monetary things, damages. Of course, it should be there. And the bottom line, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, is that it's not there. Where is it? It's in Yoredeya. So Yoredeya, again, literally means to teach, instruct knowledge, and it's more or less the miscellaneous in the Shulchan Aruch, but at the same time, it's also a lot of the halachos that don't necessarily have specific reasons behind it. It's certainly not Bidon L'Chavero. And that points to this idea, perhaps, that they are trying to demonstrate to us that it's not really something which we can attach human logic to, even though it does make sense in certain cases, but it's not really about that. It's really about the halachos, and the halachos that it's basically always usher,
why,
even if the reasons don't apply.
Why would one argue that someone shouldn't pay for using someone else's money if I have to pay if I rent an object or a kli from someone?
That's considered to be a business type of, not transaction, a business type of relationship, as opposed to this, where if you're lending money, it's clear that, yes, it's a service, but at the same time, you're lending
someone
money because he's...
They don't necessarily need money because they're down and out. Maybe they want to borrow money because they want to build a shopping center.
Right. So again, the standard case that's based on in the Torah is a case where the person is poor. Now, obviously, the halacha is that it doesn't matter, meaning even if he's not poor, this halacha is the same. But in terms of, again, at least the basic model that I was trying to develop, which again is only a svar, it's not a halacha, but in terms of the logic is such that the main point is to help people that are in need, even if the person's not poor, but they need money to do something else, so then you know, then the halacha is that's a problem. Even though there may be some cases that don't fit that, but you know, but you're right. Meaning you cannot deal with logic because it applies in all these cases. However, the way out in some of the situations that, again, we're not going to talk about tonight, but I'm sure, is part of the idea of a heter iska, of businesses developing, you know, a specific heter that they can use, is more or less that the relationship becomes a business relationship, meaning that it's sort of like investing money, which is more or less what you're describing. That's the way that you're allowed to do it, which, and there are a lot of different rules and how it's actually done today in the methods in the Gemara, obviously a little bit different. But quite the main basis for the heter iska is pretty much the idea that when you lend money, you're not really lending money, you're basically investing money as capital with the other person, and then he gets to go out and try to use that money to make money, and then in terms of how he gives money back to you, you divide it up in terms of the profits that he made, so you're giving him, the borrower is giving back the lender some of the profits, and then again, it makes it more of a relationship of an investor, investee, I don't know what the term is exactly, like that.
That presupposes that whoever's going to lend the money, or whoever's going to borrow the money, is going to make money out of it.
Correct, so they have rules. If it doesn't happen, so then, again, it may have to be like an equal loss type of situation. Again, the rules are complicated. tonight is not about heter iska. We could spend a whole month talking about just heter iska. By the way, there's a lot of good books on Hilchos Ribbis. Most of them are in Hebrew. One is called Bris Yehuda, which is one of the top works today. The Mishnas Ribbis is another one. The one in English, which is the best one that I've seen, is Rabbi Reisman's book by Arsh called The Laws of Ribbis, which I have at home. I have the Bris Yehuda also. There's one or two others out these days also, I think, that are newer, that have come out on the market. I don't remember what they're called or who published them. But it's worthwhile, certainly if you're in the world that deals with these things on a regular basis, not just in terms of banks, but in terms of, you know, other businesses and stuff like that. It's worthwhile to be familiar with these halachas in a way that you can consult, you know, from time to time from some of the books.
From a conceptual perspective, it seems civil. I understand, you know, if you're trying to help somebody out who's poor, but this would make more sense. But from a conceptual perspective, the economy is based off of interest rates. That's right, the way it works. I mean, it seems like something that would be so germane to the operations of basic economics would not have had such a negative viewpoint from the Torah's perspective.
So I guess, again, part of the idea could be, not clear exactly, could be that, you know, in the Torah's time, it was the economy didn't work that way. And number two, when it comes to interest with non-Jews, it's perfectly permissible. And the Shulchan Aruch, based on the Gemara, says that it's perfectly permissible for a Jew to charge interest to a non-Jew as well. So it doesn't seem like that's specifically the problem of charging interest per se is an issue. And by the way, some people say it's even a mitzvah to charge ribbis to interest to non-Jews. That's, I think, what the Rambam holds. Others disagree. You know, but that's a machlokas, whether it's a mitzvah to charge interest to non-Jews or just a permission to charge. But it seems like the idea is limited specifically to Jews and Jews, meaning the way that Jews interact in terms of society has to be that as a framework, as a model. It can't be something where one Jew is trying to make money off the other one off of lending money, which is supposed to be something which is a free service. You're right. In some cases, maybe, you know, it doesn't quite fit that model. And again, you know, based on the model of the heter iska, there are ways to work on that. But again, the idea seems to be that as a model, we don't want that. But again, lemaisa, it doesn't matter. Lemaisa, the halacha is that, you know, the Torah says the ribbis is usher, and therefore any of the situations, unless it's done in a permitted fashion, you know, ribbis is usher, regardless of, you know, what the context is. Okay, so let's just give two or three of the practical examples and discuss them a little bit. So the first basic one, just obviously, is lending money, meaning basic concept of, no, forget businesses, just one person. Reuven lends money to Shimon. Okay, very nice. He lends him, you know, it doesn't have to be a loan of $10,000. It could be a loan of 50 shekel. Okay, he lends him money so he can go pay for the bus ticket or something like that. You know, very, very simple loans of not that much money are still included in the rules of halva, of lending. So in that situation, so the halacha is, of course, in terms of ribis, that if the, you know, if Reuven lends Shimon 50 shekel, let's say, or 100 shekel, or 2,000 shekel, whatever it is, he can't give back, obviously. He cannot give back more than he was given in the first place. So he can't give back 120 shekel instead of 100 shekel in terms of, you know, the context of the loan. Now, again, there are a lot of details, but I just want to focus on a couple basic things. Number one, maybe, again, these are the things that we wouldn't necessarily know about, but they're very, very common. So the Shulchan Aruch says, this is in Yoradeah Siman Kuf Samech, I think it's Siv Zayin. So, fascinating. The Shulchan Aruch says, not only is it prohibited to give back money to the lender, but it's also prohibited for the borrower to do a favor for the lender. So just it happens to be, there are a lot of examples, but for example, in the Rabbi Reisman book, so he gives two practical examples. if you invite, let's say, Reuven gave Shimon a loan of 50 shekel or whatever it is, Shimon then invites Reuven for dinner, you know, for his, him and his family for dinner for Friday night, for Shabbos. You want to come for a meal? That might be a question of Hilchos Reuven. Let's say that that Shimon is, you know, is a Melamed. He's an Avreich in the Kollel or something like that. And he got a loan from Reuven. Very nice. So Shimon goes to Reuven and offers, guess what? You know, I'm free next week. You want me to tutor your kids? And we went to Kodesh. So I was struggling with, you know, the Gemara test. I'll tutor them. I'll sit down and learn them for an hour. Guess what? Yeah, the basic halacha is that that's also according to the Shulchan Aruch. Now, again, we'll get to the exceptions in just a second. But just I understand in terms of the principle that these things are included in Ribbis also. I mean, Ribbis is not specifically limited to money. It's also limited to other types of, you know, actions and favors that the borrower can is not allowed to do for the lender or for the lender's family. There are going to be exceptions. So if you ask a question, I'll tell you whether it's something we're going to definitely discuss.
It would seem to me like, let's say the object of the lending has nothing to do with money at all.
Meaning?
The same is to apply. Let's say, you know, I didn't lend Shimon, you know, $1,000.
Okay.
But I lent Shimon, I don't know, my lawnmower.
Hold on, we're getting to that. That's the next one. Or two. That's two. We have one before that. We'll get to that
example, because if you lend your neighbor your lawnmower, you're never going to get it back anyway.
You know that from experience. So we'll get to that. That's the other big thing I wanted to talk about tonight. So hold on that thought. But the answer is that it still might be a problem. In terms of the money, just in terms of the money and all the basic halachas that go with it. So, the context again has to be, in order for this to be us or the cases that I just gave you. You could think of other cases also. Any kind of favor that the person would do. Okay, let's say he lent him his lawnmower. He lent him something else. He lent him his phone or I don't know. His laptop or something like that for a little bit. Meaning the lender his laptop. So these things are all usher, but the context has to be that it's being done because of the fact that he lent him money. Meaning Reuven lends Shimon money, so because of that, Shimon wants to be nice to Reuven because he knows that Reuven was nice to him. So basically, what he does is he gives him a break on, you know, something in his store, or he lends him his, you know, something that he has. Even if he lends him a safer to use. You know, et cetera, et cetera. So that's all going to be problematic if it's done in the context of the loan. Meaning that it was...
These things are very subjective.
So just the other side, before you figure out the subjectivity of it, the other side, this is mentioned in the Shach, and so in Kuf Samachvah, but the Shulchan also alludes to this. If the people are close friends, okay, which is, you know, probably the case in our issue of many, many people, you know, are friends or good friends with each other, or it's something that the people would have done, this is the Shulchan actually points out itself, it's something that the people would have done before the loan, meaning if before the loan they already were lending things back and forth, or, you know, they borrowed their bike, or they did this, or they did that, or they, you know, once in a while they invited them over for a Shabbos meal, okay, or they already had a relationship that, you know, he learned with his son, or with him, you know, once a month, or who knows when. So if that's already the context, then the halacha is that it's permitted. Okay, that's based on the Shulchan Aruch and again, the Shach. That's not considered to be based on the context of the loan. I mean, yes, it's nice that he loaned and maybe he wanted to do it now rather than in a month from now, but if it's something that would have been done anyway, so then this is not included. And number two, even if it would not have been done previously, I mean, they didn't necessarily, you know, invite each other for Shabbos meals on a regular basis, but they're very close friends, so that a invitation for Shabbos is not necessarily, you know, something which is out of the blue. It's something that you can turn eyes and, you know, say, wait a second, why did he do that? So then again, you know, the halacha is, based on the Shach, the halacha is that that's going to be permitted. Okay, again, because the context is not going to be something which is done because of the loan. It's rather a context which is being done because of the fact that they're close friends. Okay, now, if you want to follow up.
What happens if, like, someone, does, I don't know, collects your, like, they go collect their mail every day, and they collect yours at the same time, and they do this, like, for 2 years or something like that. And then you just want to, like, give them, like, a present or something to say thanks. Would that be considered like rebate?
If that's not a problem, I mean, that's not a problem if what he did, meaning he was doing for you, no, again, he was not giving you money. He wasn't giving...
He's giving you something which is worth
money.
Yeah,
he wasn't... Like, we'll talk about borrowing items.
Okay, maybe that's right. A bad example, but like I don't know, gave you a lift somewhere.
Yeah.
You know?
So put it this way, so it could be, you know, I don't have time to get to that so much tonight. But again, if it's done as a favor, if it's done to be nice, then the halacha is that it's permitted to reciprocate in whatever way you want. If it's
being subjective.
Yes, if it's being done well, you know, I'm going to give you your I'm going to give you a ride on condition that you give me a ride, and then you choose to give me, I don't know how you would give a better ride or a longer, I'm not sure how it would work, but a better version of what I gave you in that context that you were expected to do this, that already might be a shot. That's a possibility. That might actually be a problem. So it's best to do things like that, you know, on you have to be very careful. You want to do it on a, you know, as a favor basis rather than on a condition. Well, I'm going to do this for you to reciprocate, and then when you reciprocate, you do a better job. You know, however, you have to figure out what other examples that would be. That might be a problem. It might be a problem.
Sorry, what's Neshech?
So Neshech.
We always talk about love before,
right? It's the same thing. It's same, really. So why is it called Neshech? Neshech in Shoch in modern Hebrew and in biblical Hebrew also means to bite.
Yeah, but the Torah never wastes words. So presumably, there has to be some differential.
So, right. So the Gemara, the conclusion of the Gemara, I think, is that it's the same thing. Okay, it's to give it two different types of prohibitions. So basically, it's the same answer for both of them. It's just to make it more serious by giving it more. But again, you know, the meaning behind it is very understandable. Okay, that the interest bites. You know, it's like a snake bites. So neshech, you know, it's sorry. Okay, you know, give a 2% rate, and he borrows, you know, whatever money, and then, you know, a few months go by, a year goes by, 2 years go by, eventually. The interest rate builds up, and eventually you have to give back a lot of money, and somebody bit you. Oh my gosh, this happens all the time. You listen to the radio these days, just in Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, people often are in the minus, and they need interest. You know, they need to take out loans and pay a lot of interest for it, and then suddenly it adds up. So they're on the radio. Oh, so use this loan. No, this one will not. You don't have to worry about the interest on this one. You know, you hear these things. That's really what it does, though. It's very crazy. Well, so
we don't care about the fact if someone gives $100,000 to a friend to a person as a present. With no expectation that's going to be returned, then that other person that who receives the money does all sorts of favors for him or thanks him. That we don't care about that. We only care about the fact that if there's an expectation that the borrower is going to pay back the money.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Interesting. I mean, again, if it's in the context of matana, there's nothing wrong with demonstrating your thanks for receiving a gift. Problem is if it's a loan that you're supposed to be doing that he's supposed to give back. Then when you give back extra things. So then, basically, you're violating the censor. Again, if you try to figure out too many reasons, it doesn't work. Okay, it doesn't work. It's not.
It is what it is.
Exactly. Basically, that's the bottom line. You know, I tried to give a little bit of the logic, but it doesn't. You know, right. The logic is not to find the halachic parameters. Basically, in most situations, it's just to give a little bit more of a flavor to understand a little better what might be behind it. Okay, so that's that idea. There was just one other example that they give, which again, I don't know how common this is today, but they say that. That there's a problem that if you lend somebody money, then you can't borrow they can't borrow your things without permission, even if they would have done so beforehand. Okay, again, I guess it happens sometimes. Meaning that the lender borrows things from the borrower without permission after he gave the borrower money. So that seems to be a problem also. Again, maybe that smacks more of Hilchos Rivas, even if they would have done so beforehand. That apparently you have to ask. It doesn't mean you can't lend it. It means you have to ask them first before you take it. Okay. All right. Another interesting example. So this is also pretty common. Let's say that I ask you to go buy me, go buy me a bus ticket. Go buy me something in the store. All right. I don't know what the other examples are these days. But
milk. I need milk.
Okay. Yeah. You need milk. So again, usually you ask your kids to get it. But let's say you ask your friend to go get it, and you give them money. Okay. You give them 30 shekel. Okay. I don't know if you give them your credit card. Let's say you give them the credit card is probably fine, but you give them 30 shekel. Okay, very nice. And the milk costs ended up costing 28 shekel, 29 shekel even 29 and a half shekel maybe. All right. You come back and you say, "I'm sorry, I don't I don't have change to give you back for your milk. Here's your milk." The guy says, "Don't worry about it. Keep the change." He says, "Okay, why not? It's nice, right?"
Yeah, not a problem.
So halacha is it's us. That's a problem. Meaning, anytime that you lend, there's a few different distinctions here. But
did the person lend the money beforehand to the person, or
so? Again, the way that it works is like this. Again, and we'll see that in a minute. There might be some cases where it's okay, which I didn't give you yet. But just in terms of the concept, I guess the better example is if you gave a loan. Okay, the best example is when you give a loan. Okay, I give you a loan of 50 shekel. You know, for whatever reason it is, it's you can go buy milk or you can go get a bus ticket, whatever it is. You come back and you give me, I give you a loan. Let's say I give you 50 shekel, and you have 60 shekel. You have 55. Let's give an example. I give you 45 shekel, and you have a 50. When you're ready to return the loan, so you have a 50, and you really owe him 45. And he says, "Don't worry, keep the change. You keep the extra 5 shekel." So the halacha is that's us, or meaning that's Rivas. Okay, he lent you money for whatever it is, however small the money was. and you give them back more money than that, that's absolutely auster. Okay, in most situations.
Well, the second, yeah. Ban. The other one, wouldn't mind. Oh. No.
So the second case. So assuming we'll So we'll get back to that in just a second. All right, well, that is subject to a few distinctions. So we'll hold off on that for a minute. Just in terms of this. So again, that's very important to be aware of because it happens all the time. Okay, if you lend somebody money to do even just something small, and they give it back, and so you keep the change, you know, halakhically that's really a problem. The only heter, at least that I found, and Reisner mentions in his book, is quoted in the Minchas Yitzchak in Chelek Tes. He has a shuva about this, and basically what he says is that the only time that the amount of money is so insignificant that it might not be relevant, meaning it might be okay to say keep the change, is in a situation where it's not, it's so, the amount of money is not significant enough that you would pick it up off the floor if it fell down. Let's say you dropped a coin on the floor outside, or even in your house. So I guess outside is the best example. Okay, so it's just the tier of bending down and picking it up is not worth it to you. Say, okay, I'll leave it.
Pick them up.
How much is that? So
pick them up. Yep. Whatever money I find, I say I'm donating to Sadaka. Good. All right. A penny, I pick them up and give it to Sadaka.
So I guess maybe this would be not in terms of Sadaka. This would be just in terms of your own money. Okay, if you dropped, let's say, you know, 10 agorot on the floor, would you bother to pick it up? Maybe yes, but I don't think I would. I think 10 agorot, I don't think
you're
I would.
Sadaka, whatever.
All right, good. You get Sadaka. You drop it yourself.
How about
your wallet?
How about someone gives you a loan? Let's say, whatever, gives you a loan. They transfer it to you, like, from their bank to your bank.
Okay.
And there's a fee involved from their side to transfer it to you. You want to pay the loan back, but you don't want to just pay the loan back and, like, the guy's going to be out of pocket then because he incurred fees in order to give you the loan.
Mm-hmm.
You want to reimburse him for the fee. So you know more or less what the fee is, but you don't know exactly. So you might end up like overpaying, like maybe a shekel or two shekels or something like that, because
right.
you want to like transfer the loan. You
yes,
want to give the money back, but you also want to reimburse them for their costs.
That's a good question.
Or even more than that, you could even say also the tircha that they took time to whatever.
Right.
Can't you like make it nine and say I'm paying it back, and if there's anything over, it's like a matana or something like to you. Can you do that?
That's a possibility. The way you have to do it is like this. Again, I wasn't going to focus on this a lot tonight, but just for a minute, I guess we'll mention it briefly. First question is, if you're not sure, the Gosim doesn't talk about this, if you're not sure, meaning you're mesupak, how much you gave, that's a shaila. Okay, maybe it's even a subject to raisa. So maybe it could be after machre, you can't give back more than, you know, than you're sure about because of the fact that for a subject of rivet to raisa, maybe you can't do that. However, it seems that if you phrase it in such a way that you're not paying back more money as, you know, in gratitude for the fact that you're giving a loan, but rather you're telling them, and this really has to be explicit in order for this to work. And again, there's makaris about this also, which we're not going to get into now, but essentially, the idea seems to be that if you give back extra money, basically saying, this is the money I'm giving you, as basically paying you for the effort that you went to in order to give me the loan. Okay? Or let's say the case, which we'll get to in a minute, we'll get to this in terms of giving somebody money to buy something for you. So that may be a parallel, which we'll get to in a minute. This is, you know, that comes out very clearly, that you're doing it basically to pay him for the fact that he took the effort and his time to go, you know, take care of the loan, which would obviously be the same thing if he's incurring fees, mm-hmm. you know, from the bank or whatever, in order to give you the loan. Certainly the same thing would be that you're reimbursing him for the fees and the effort and the money that he spent in order to help you out. Mm-hmm. That's all you're giving back. But it has to be clear that that's why you're doing it. Okay, meaning if it's not clear, then that might not work.
Today's day and age, with the idea of the exchange rates and the fact
that... All right, so I wasn't going to get a...
No, it's
really fine. Yeah.
Somebody wants to... I lend a friend of mine $100. My uh-huh. friend takes $100 and changes it to 360 shekel.
Yeah, okay. So
he pays back 360 shekel, but the exchange rate for the dollar has gone to 3.54.
Good. So that's a... So that's a shiloh. Okay, there's discussion about that also. Again, I wasn't planning on getting into that. That's a good point. The bottom line seems to be, but this problem is this is not so simple. So that's why I didn't really want to get into it.
Well, I bring it up because
business. That's why I didn't want to deal with business.
Also, the guy who took the loan of $100. What happens if he pays back the guy that he loaned the money from? He pays back $100. But it cost him more. So mitzad echad, the guy who gave the money is getting the right amount back, as far as he's concerned.
Yeah.
But you're actually spending more. You're giving more than what you took.
Yeah. No. So that's these are all shilas. And then close the afternoon, talk about this. It's true. It's from Moshe about it. I think Rav Shturmbach also talks about this. Rav Reisman has a nice, you know, page or two about this in his book. We'll save this for next time. It seems on a basic level that you're supposed to follow the currency of the place, of the locality that you're in. So if you're here in Israel, then it seems like the basic idea is supposed to be that you follow the rate of the shekel, which means basically however much it was, the shekel rate was at that time that you give the loan, that's how much, that's how it would work out when you give it back. So even if the dollar fluctuated, but however many shekel it was when you lent the money, that's how much you would have to pay back in shekels a little later. But again, that's not so simple for a lot of different reasons, which again, I don't really want to get into now. The first one is that some of the posts actually say that the dollar is considered to be a valid rate here in Israel. I mean, maybe you could link the loan to the dollar. But today it's not clear that's really the case. And then there's a few other points also, which I don't really get to now. But
I guess just some more questions. If someone goes to Chutz Laaretz and someone asks them to pick up something for them, and they pay $100 for that thing, and they bring it back, and they go, well, I don't have any dollars, but I'll pay you the exchange rate for the shekel. So that's going to be a problem, you're saying?
It's going to be a shaila. Yeah, it's going to be a shaila.
The person should pay it back in dollars.
Maybe he bought it in dollars, and you have to figure that out. Okay, meaning there, it's already more complicated because there, when he bought it, it was in America, and then he came here afterwards.
I'm telling you, those are practical examples.
Right? Yeah. So I'm gonna refrain from talking about that for now. I think that needs more time.
Can we just need a comment that saying an ideal better situation is that paying back $100 in American dollars, is that what you would consider?
If it would be easiest to do that, so then maybe you could talk about doing it. I mean, he spent $100 for you, and you basically, you know, give him $100 back. That might solve all the problems.
The way you're
going to
get the
$100 back. I'm going to cheerfully change if it was still in business.
But maybe
he'll charge you again more.
Maybe when he bought it, it was really 330 shekels.
Yeah, no, I know.
And now you're giving him back $100, but you actually had to spend $400 to get that $100. 400 shekels to get that $100.
Right. So do I care? It's a dollar.
But you're paying more than what you're saying.
I mean, here it's tricky because of the fact that he bought it for you in America and then he comes back here and you pay back here.
You're saying don't buy stuff for other people in America.
I didn't say that. I have to work out some of these details.
That's what's going on the list today. That's what's going on tonight.
That's going to be part two. Okay, we'll deal with that. And,
are you allowed to ask people to pick up things?
No. I should just pay them back for it.
Don't pay it back.
It could be the best thing to do. There might be other kids. Don't pay it back. It's even better, right? The best thing to do is to do something, you know, do something different. Find some way. I'll tell you, based on what we'll save in a minute for giving purchases, we'll see that there might be some ways to do it that are much less problematic. Not that you can't do it in the way we just talked about; it's just a little more complicated. It involves a little more, some more questions. Okay, just in terms of paying for purchase. So, basically, let's say the following: Reuven gave Shimon money to buy a bag of milk or to buy, you know, box of cereals and like that. So in that situation, the same halacha applies as we said before, that if when he comes back, Shimon comes back and says, here's your change. Okay, meaning again, let's say the milk was, whatever, he bought a few bags of milk, so it was 28 shekel, and he gives him back the 2 shekel, and Reuven says, keep the change. Don't worry, keep the change. You can keep the 2 shekel. Or let's say it's half a shekel. Keep the change. Don't worry about it. So the halacha, again, is that that's a problem of rivus. Meaning if you gave him money to buy something and then he is told to keep the change afterwards, he gives him back only the milk and not the rest of the change. So the halacha, that's a problem of rivus. However, the distinction is as follows. This is based on other sections of the Shulchan Aruch.
Before you can tell, I'm thinking, I gave him 30 shekels to buy my milk.
Yeah.
I tell him to keep the change. I was saying I lent him money.
Yeah, so basically the way that's being looked at is that if Reuven gives Shimon money
to buy me milk.
To buy milk.
Okay.
So then Shimon is buying the milk. So it's essentially what's happening is that it's Ke'ilu Shimon in this case is sort of like being the lender. I mean, Shimon is the one who's going ahead and buying him
the milk,
and giving him back the milk for less money. And Reuven is then saying, you know, as the borrower is saying, you can keep the change. Okay, keep the change for the fact that you lent me money, Kilu, which is not really money, but the fact that you bought me the milk. So in that situation, that's a problem. However, the distinction is like this. Number one, actually, there's two ways you could do this. Right? Number one, we said before that if you tell Shimon he can keep the change, as in gratitude for doing the errands, meaning not exactly Shkar Tircha. So Shkar Tircha is generally going to be mutter because of the fact that that the money is given for the effort and not for the fact that he did the favor for him, or that which again halakhically is considered to be like a loan. That's number one. Number two, and this is a way which might work in other cases also of buying actual business stuff, is that the following: if Shimon, let's say, intends to buy the item for Reuven, okay, again Reuven gives Shimon money to buy milk, Shimon intends to buy the item for Reuven, but let's say that the way it was presented, the way they framed it, was that Shimon was really going to buy it for himself. Meaning, in his mind, Shimon says, I have kavanah that I'm buying this for me. Okay, it's mine now. It belongs to me. Halachically, it's mine. And again, Reuben agrees, that's assuming. Okay, Reuben says that Shimon is going to belong to him. And then later, when he comes back to Reuben, then he's going to say, okay, this is my bag of milk, and now I'm giving it to you, and I want you to acquire it as your own. So in that case also, the halacha would be that it's mutter, because it doesn't really have the status of a loan in that situation. In that situation, basically, he's buying it basically for himself, and only afterwards is he giving it back to him to transfer it. And at that point, then you can, you know, if you deal with the change at that point, that might not be a problem. Again, it just depends on how you view the entire mm-hmm. transaction, the entire relationship between the two of them. So that's the other way. And again, that might work also in some of these other cases. If you buy something for somebody else, you know, even in America or something else, if they basically buy it and say that it's going to be theirs, and only later do they come back and say, okay, now I'm going to transfer the ownership to you. So that might be, you know, that might be fine. Even if you have questions of discrepancy in terms of the rate. Right. Between the time that you bought it and later. Again, I know there are more details to this, but that's basically the concept.
What about a case of, like, sort of intangible benefit? Like, say, you buy something in America online, and you ask someone who's going to America to bring it back for you, okay? So they've saved you the shipping cost now.
Right.
And then they bring it back as a favor to you, but, like, right. then you want to, like, say thank you, so you, like, give them a bouquet of flowers or something right. like that. Is that like
so? That's a child. I mean, if you say that the situation is such that that's considered to be like a loan, and the fact that they
you got benefit out of.
But the thing is, if you paid for it yourself,
paid for myself,
but right? You paid yourself, and you just sent it to them. So they right. So that shouldn't be a problem because then the fact that they bring it to you is basically done as a favor. It's not being done as part of a loan. Okay, that's not really going to be the same thing as if you gave them money. Okay, and then they go get something for the money. And bring you back, you know, the object, and you say keep part of the money. That at least midrabanan is still considered to be, you know, part of the context of, you know, somewhat halfway similar to a loan, as opposed to this case where they're a messenger for you. So the messenger, you know, being a messenger is not necessarily a problem. And actually, a halacha in the Gemara and the Shulchan Aruch about, you know, I'm not along those lines about, you know, being a messenger for somebody. But in general, that seems to be okay. And in that case, if you give them a gift, you know, say thank you to them, that might not be a problem.
Does the scenario change if the person doing the shopping, you know, lays out the money and then gets paid back?
Yeah. So that's the question. I mean, if he lays out the money, so that might also be a shayla.
Again, that's also shayla.
Yeah, that might also be a shayla. Let's talk about this. We need a separate shear on it. I think we need a separate. We'll have to do a part two on that stuff. Where I'll do some sort of summary. Okay. No. There are ways out. You just have to. Anyway, I wasn't planning on talking about it tonight. So. I just want to finish at least what I wanted to talk about. There's one more halacha I want to talk about, and then we'll still be done with enough time that we can get to 9:30 Marav. Okay. And also the fact that I didn't bring my book with me, which is also based on the whole, I got a little confused. In the book, I can read a few things inside. I can tell you exactly, you know, what it says with all the distinctions, but I didn't organize it well enough to say it all out right now. All right. Anyway, the last thing I just wanted to mention is the following, and that is if you borrow something from somebody else, meaning, let's say, forget money. Forget you're buying something from somebody else. But let's say that you are out of eggs, right? Or you are out of milk, or you are out of sugar. So you go to your neighbor and ask them, can I borrow a little bit of sugar? Can I borrow a couple eggs? Can I borrow a bag of milk? Or can I borrow half a cup of milk? Whatever it is. So the halacha is, and this is mentioned also in the Shulchan Aruch, that's all subject to rubis. Meaning rubis is not just for money, it's also for borrowing other things as well. So this was mentioned before. Objects also that are worth value are subject to rubis, assuming that the plan is and the intentions are that the second person is going to return it, is planning on returning it to the first person at some point. You know, if the first person says, you know, you keep it, it's a gift, you know, it's fine, you don't have to return it, and the other guy says, okay, you know, if I'm able to, I'll return it, but it's understood that you don't have to return it if you don't want to, so then the halacha is different. I mean, that's not considered to be a loan, that's considered to be a gift, and then you can do whatever you want afterwards.
Well, that's quite dangerous.
What?
Because that's quite dangerous because it could be, like, implicitly understood that if you borrow, like, say, you desperately need milk, there are only, like,
right.
two cups or something, so you go over to the neighbor and say, can I have milk? So they say, okay, well,
right.
I've got a carton which is already half empty,
right.
you can take that, and then, like, it's implicitly understood that they're going to replace it, but then they come with a whole carton and
right.
say, here,
take
this.
Yeah, it's a good question. That's a good shayla. Yeah, be careful about that. So I guess in that case, that's why this is stuff that you didn't, you know, that this was wrong
no
to talk about.
Like normal favors.
No, it's not favors. All you have to do is...
But that's complicated, because when you're supposed to say, buy a new coffee, drink half of it, and then bring me the half coffee back.
Basically, on your end, what you want to do...
I don't think it's much of an issue necessary for us, because we're not necessarily... You wouldn't, really, you wouldn't give somebody milk on the condition that they're going to return the milk to you.
Right. So that's right. So from your end...
We go back and forth the Omans, our next door neighbors. Yeah. They ran milk, we ran over there, they ran over there. Right. We don't keep track.
Exactly, so that's what you want to do. But you want to do it in such a way that either it's a...
shells between the two
right? Put it on the thing. That's what you want to do. You want to do it in such a way that it's considered to be a matana, that from your end, let's say if you're giving the milk at this time,
right.
So you say that I don't expect this to come back to me.
Well,
if it comes back, it's nice, but then
which is
if you don't keep track of it, so then it's fine.
Like chocolate chips or something like that, where that's not something which like you necessarily always have lying around the house. So like someone might say, can I have some, like I ran out of chocolate chips, I'm in the middle of baking chocolate chip cookies. So you say, sure, take my one. But like that kind of thing is like implicitly, usually people would understand that they will replace it because you probably don't have another one lying around, and maybe you want to cook or bake tomorrow.
So the best thing to do is basically just say that you're not, that they don't have to return exactly. You know, you give it to them, it's a ton off. If they want to give something back, it doesn't matter. You know, you're not mocked on how much you get back, and the amounts are not important. So anything along those lines is probably fine.
Okay. A more long-term borrow. So
such as?
Let's say I'm a farmer, and I borrow somebody else's cow for a year to whatever. It helps me, whatever it is, but it's implied that I'm about to give back the cow after a year. And during that course of that year, the cow gives birth.
Right. So that's interesting. That's a different child. That's not an issue of business anymore.
Yesterday.
Exactly.
Yesterday I borrowed somebody's cow for a year.
The lawnmower, you give him a lawnmower, and you give him whatever, half tank full, and he says, I filled it up for you. That's happened a lot.
Yeah.
That's very interesting.
I filled it up. That's, it's full now.
Yeah, that's not
a way of saying thank you. And
so I'll tell you the difference. The difference is that any case where you return the same item that you borrowed is not a shiloh of rubis. Okay, that's a shiloh of schirus, of renting or borrowing or whatever. That's not necessarily a problem with something like that, if it's done as a gift. The shiloh that we're talking about is if you lend something, which is like money, meaning something that you take, you use, and then you replace it with something else. You return different coins, you return a different bag of milk or a different container of sugar or something like that. That's the shiloh of rubis. Okay, so some of these cases that you just mentioned would probably not be included. What would be included is any case where you took, long-term something and then you replaced it with something else, not because it got damaged or whatever, but rather because it was supposed to be used. That was the point. The point is that you use it. So in that situation, so essentially, what you want to do is make sure what we said before, that either it's a gift or that you're not mocked exactly to return, return exactly the same amount. On the other end, meaning the end of the person who's borrowing it, they also have to return it because on their end, if the person, let's say they are told, you don't have to return it, it's fine, and you say, no, of course we're going to return it, honestly return it. So you have to be careful. If you're going to say that on the end of the borrower, you have to make sure also that that you don't say, yes, I'm going to return exactly the amount that I took from you. Because then if you do that and you give them a little more, you give them a whole cup instead of a half a cup, whatever, any of those cases we talked about, so that's going to be a problem. Okay, meaning if you do it from the borrower, then that's going to be a shiloh. So therefore, from the bar, and also, either you have to agree that it's done as a matana, and if you choose to give it back, you'll give it back, but it's not that you're expecting, you're not putting a condition on yourself, yes, I plan on giving it back. Or you say, I'll give back something, but we're not saying exactly how much it's going to be, which again is not, going to be a shiloh of rubis. Okay, that's essentially the idea there. Just one other...
And then what about like quality of things? Like, for example...
That's also a shiloh.
You go over to the neighbor and say, can I borrow your red label whiskey? Yeah. And then you come back with blue label.
It's the same question. Yeah. I mean, I can't judge in terms of whiskeys. I'm not the right person to answer that. But, if you say you have great, more expensive eggs or, better milk. I don't know. I have to figure out the exact example. But, there are, a higher quality. I don't know. Coca-Cola versus RC. I'm not sure. I don't know. Yeah, you got a lot of these shilohs. Again, all these cases, it's worthwhile to be careful. I didn't say that. No. We want people to have this society where people, but it's got to be, I'm sorry. You have to be mocked on the whole.
Isn't it better just whenever someone comes to ask for something, just to say, I'm giving this to you as a matana?
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
And you get out of all the
Exactly. Yeah, 100%. That's the best thing. Again, it's just, if it's already assumed, or again, you have the neighbor situation where everybody just borrows whatever they want. Okay, he did that at the end. It's not exact. That's also fine. Mm-hmm. Okay, but the minute that it's, you're expecting it to be back exactly. And you say that, or it's understood, or they say it, then you're going to have these shilohs. So you have to just sort of go get around the problem, or whatever it is. Okay, that's all I'm going to talk about tonight. There's plenty of other questions also, some interesting ones.
Yes.
Which maybe we'll have a part two on at some point. We'll deal with the other the kinds of questions, other interesting things about the prepayment prices that are advanced payment or whatever. So I've got a very common challenge, which doesn't, you don't have to be in business, we'll have to try with, which we'll talk about some other time.